Welcome to the Property Elite podcast. I'll be your host, Jen Lehman, chartered surveyor and co-founder of Property Elite. Stay tuned each week for more on industry hot topics, market updates, and new RICS guidance. In this week's podcast, we take a look at the new RICS professional standard valuation approach for properties in multi-story, multi-occupancy residential buildings with cladding first edition. It's essential listening for all residential valuers, whether associate or APC candidates or RICS registered valuers. Head to our website to find links to the full guidance together with RICS's consultation response on producing the professional standard. The new guidance took effect from the 6th of December 2022. And a key question is, of course, how does the new guidance relate to any existing guidance? RICS published the guidance note, Valuation of Properties in Multi-Story, Multi-Occupancy Residential Buildings with Cladding, in March 2021. You can read about this in our website blog and podcast on this. The new guidance took effect from the 6th of December 2022, and it relates to existing guidance, primarily the guidance note, Valuation of Properties in Multi-Story, Multi-Occupancy Residential Buildings with Cladding First Edition, which was published in March 2021. This guidance note primarily focused on when EWS1 forms are required due to combustible cladding. The new professional standard sits alongside this existing guidance note and applies to valuations in England. It has a different focus to the existing guidance note, being the impact on value of recent government remediation schemes and qualifying leaseholder protections. It primarily relates to secured lending valuations, but can be adopted for valuations for alternative purposes. Valuers need to adhere to the specific lender client's guidance, as this will confirm the valuation approach to be adopted. The new professional standard relates to residential flats with blocks of 5 or more stories or 11 metres plus high. This is because the remediation scheme available through the Building Safety Fund applies to buildings of 7 or more stories or 18 metres plus high. Cladding is defined as a method of enclosing a building externally by the attachment of finishing materials spanning between given points of support on the face of the building. And this includes, as defined in the government guidance, aluminium composite material, brick slips, high pressure laminate, metal composite material, metal sheet panels, rendered external wall insulation systems, plastic tiling systems, and timber. The government guidance applies to buildings where cladding remediation work has been identified and funded and the lender is willing to lend. The new professional standard was published to help valuers provide consistent valuations, to promote risk-based and proportionate valuation advice, to provide effective operation of the residential market, and to support the public interest mandate of RICS. So to manage risk over this type of valuation work, valuers need to ensure that they have sufficient experience, skills and knowledge. They also need to check that they're covered by their professional indemnity insurance for the work required, and the terms of engagement agreed with the client need to be appropriate and include a liability cap if appropriate. So does the valuer need to see an EWS1 form? Yes, as long as it's within the 5-year validity period or a fire risk appraisal of external walls, an FRAEW, under PAS 9980/2022 has been produced. The latter includes an executive summary to confirm whether remediation works are required or not. Valuers need to comment on the market for this type of property within the valuation commentary, and of course this is likely to change over time. Valuers also need to comment on the availability of good comparables, which initially may be limited. Valuers should refer to VPS 3 of the Red Book Global in relation to the valuation approach and reasoning, and to VPS 4 in relation to any marketing constraints they feel apply as at the valuation date. So finally, what valuation approach should valuers take? And the first step is to always consider the lender client's guidance, which will direct the valuer as to whether they need to make any assumptions or special assumptions. The valuer then needs to consider factors such as summary of the works affecting marketability and desirability, the impact on amenity and occupancy whilst the works take place, other repair costs, heating and cooling issues whilst the insulation is being replaced, impact of waking watch costs, disruption to the block and surrounds, The valuer then needs to consider information such as any FRAEW and remedial work required and confirmed dates for the work, the costs of the remedial work if known, and if they can be passed on to the leaseholder, and if so, if they are capped, and then eligibility under a remediation funding scheme and eligibility of the lease. Valuers need to read the professional standard in detail for a full explanation of all of this. The professional standard also includes indicative scenarios within section 4.2, which relate to no cladding or no cladding repairs needed, cladding repairs needed, or none of the information to support the valuation process is available to the valuer. Valuers can follow the flowchart on the RICS website to decide which valuation scenario applies to their specific case. Thanks for listening to the Property Elite podcast this week. Head to our website to check out our full blog, free and paid support resources and services, free consultation for every single RICS APC and ASOC RICS candidate, and also ask us any questions you have via the website chat blog. See you next week.